Now, I'd like to say good morning. Good morning, Catherine Ashton. How are you?
Why, hello, Rachel Singleton. How are you?
I'm very well. Now, Catherine is the founder of a platform called Critical Info, which you can jump online as I'm talking to Catherine, criticalinfoalltogether.com.au. And that is everything you need to know if someone that you know passes away. Everything's right there. And she also hosts a podcast, Don't Be Caught Dead, covering all manner of things. And most recently, you've taken out the People's Choice Award, Catherine, at the Lift Women Asia Pacific Grant Challenge, as your work highlights a growing national issue. Families are still being left to navigate death with little guidance, often in moments of crisis. So congratulations for that, Catherine.
Thank you, Rachel. It was a little bit overwhelming, actually.
Yeah, right. So we'll talk us through it. Clearly, you're nominated.
Yes, and it was because we did a crowdfunding campaign earlier this year to support unpaid carers within the community. And so that is effectively an application process to be part of this grant challenge, because it's all run through the female founder organisation called Lift Women. And so I was on stage at the State Library on Monday night with nine other founders from across the Asia Pacific area, and we took out People's Choice, which was really amazing for a topic that people don't really like to talk about, and we won the people's hearts.
Oh, congratulations. The State Library, gorgeous. What a venue.
Yeah, it was really, really lovely.
But let's not take away from what you've achieved, bringing like a spotlight. Is this true? This more than 3 million Australians are providing unpaid care for loved ones, often juggling work, health, and family responsibilities while managing complex decisions with fragmented information, limited support. That's a huge amount.
Yeah, that was that's probably a conservative figure. That was taken from a survey, a national survey that was done by the Carers Australia Network last year. And it really does sort of tell us that there is many people within the community who are juggling work and family commitments and the commitment of unpaid caring. And I think a lot of people call it the sandwich generation, if that's the term that you like, where you're really responsible for your children and also responsible for your parents. And I fall into that particular category myself.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, in fact, I know quite a lot of people, especially being around the 50 mark. Obviously, all our parents and my friends' parents are 70 plus. So a lot of them are finding themselves in that similar situation.
Yeah, I think it's a very common thing the more people that I speak to. And certainly, you know, every event I speak to, and Monday night was no different, where people will tell me of a story that of something that has happened to them personally, of either who they're caring for or when they've attended a funeral or a death of someone and the impact that that has had on their life.
Yeah, in fact, I'm having a flashback to one of my guests, Erica, who works in aged care, and she's the person that they call in pretty much when crisis strikes and one of the parents has to be moved into like residential or a supported care. And I said to Erica, I said, well, how many people, you know, forward plan? And she's like, no one. Which I found astounding.
Crazy, isn't it?
She just said that it gets to the point where mum or dad can't, you know, they've been told by an outside person, whether medical or the council, I'm not sure, but basically, sorry, mum or dad's, it's just not safe for them to live in the family home alone anymore. And yeah, she said they arrive on her doorstep stressed, and yeah, I was like, wow, that's not ideal, is it now?
No, and it is something that can be avoided if we start having conversations with our loved ones, you know, around the dinner table when we get together. And it doesn't have to be, you know, what do you want to do when you die? It can be as simple as like, so if you had to go to hospital, like, who's the person that you want to enter your home? Or, you know, if you have to go to hospital, if you've got a pet or someone that you care for, who is that person that you would be able to call upon to come and take care of that person that you care for or the pet? And that's a good place to start, because you're putting a backup plan in place, because we all know that, that death is the one guarantee in life that we have, and but we very rarely talk about it. But it doesn't have to be the focus on death. It can start with something as simple as, you know, if you need someone to take care of the pet, who would it be?
Actually, that's a really good one, isn't it? That feels like a really soft one. Like, you know, if you were in hospital, exactly, who would you like to come into the house? And of course, pets, absolutely. I think most people would be like, oh, yes, the pet must be well. I think they'd probably put the pet before their own health most of the time. So,
and yeah, that is something that I have heard. One of our clinical advisors is a physician in the emergency department, and that's the story that she's told me on more than one occasion, where people have refused treatment because they need to go home to take care of someone or something at home, and because they don't have a backup plan in place. So it really has significant impact when you haven't had these conversations early on before there's a decline in health or a critical incident that happens.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I could see that taking place. And especially sometimes, I know I unexpectedly found myself caring for a family member once, and you are in such a level of stress because it's happened so quickly. And of course, you've got to juggle work and what's happening on the day to day and care for this person. So it's very overwhelming. I wrote what you wrote about people. How did you put it, Catherine? Basically, you're so overwhelmed with everything. You just sort of give up a little bit.
Yeah, look, we're well aware, and there's research that shows that, you know, when we're grieving or when we are in a traumatic moment, we don't think clearly. You know, sometimes people call it, you know, brain fog or grief fog, or but it really is at a time where we have additional cognitive load and we just don't have the capacity to think of all of the things that we need to think of. And so, you know, that's one of the reasons why what we did with the after-death guide that we have is we put things in a chronological order, so you know what you have to do in the first 24 hours, then the next few days, what you can delegate to other people, what the documents are that you need to get in place, because otherwise it's just near impossible to try and think clearly in those moments.
Yeah, definitely. I've just found the beautiful spot you wrote here about, yeah, people don't avoid planning because they don't care. It's because they avoid it because the system is overwhelming and fragmented and hard to navigate, and the result is always making critical. Yeah, so I totally related to that. I thought it's not that you don't care. It's just like, and sometimes when you're that overwhelmed, where do you start? Just yes, I can totally relate to that. So lucky you're here, Catherine, and critical info. And you know what I love? When I was driving to the station today thinking about talking to you, I thought, here's someone that's realised there's a big problem and a gap, and instead of just saying, oh, this was a nightmare, you've done something about it. You've gone, well, hey, I can do something. So well done. That's super impressive.
Look, if you had told me I'd been doing this, you know, probably 5 years ago, I would have thought you were crazy. But look, it is a situation I found myself in after I had my own car accident in 2019 and found it very difficult to navigate a system. It was a car accident, so given the fact that it was navigating TAC, it was something that was someone hit me, so it was also navigating a complex legal system with a common law claim. And I was in my early 40s when that happened, so I knew that there was no other option. No one was going to employ me because it ended with spinal surgery and me developing chronic pain. So, you know, this was something that I didn't really know I was going to end up doing, but when my husband's best friend died in the February of 2023, and I realised that the death care system was far more fragmented than the healthcare system, I went, okay, you know, we have to do something about it. And I just started speaking to people and realised that I wasn't the only one that was experienced this nightmare on how to navigate it, and we've just sort of built from there.
Amazing. Now, I am on your website, as I mentioned, criticalinfo.com.au, and I've seen something about a start free 10-day trial. That's always appealing to me.
Yeah, look, it's that classic thing that I think that for me, I wouldn't want to sign up to anything until I get a feel for whether it's right and the right fit. And especially in this space, people are hesitant because, you know, it's that classic thing of you don't know what you don't know. So what we do is we allow people to, at no cost, just come and trial the platform, go through the first days of questions. They can then get a feel for what the style of the platform is. And it's really simple because it's 10 minutes a day for 15 days. We look at your life in a holistic manner. It's not just focusing on medical wishes or legal wishes or financial wishes. Like, we do cover pets, as we've discussed. And really those questions that I was saying before, you know, who's the first person to come into your home? When you go to hospital, is there anything that you need to be taken care of in those situations? So we look at your life in a really holistic manner. So that 10-day trial allows people to sort of come and do day one, see whether they feel comfortable with the system and that they can navigate it, and then move on from there. There is a paid subscription that goes on after that, so it's $99 for the year, and I think that works out to be less than the cost of a coffee cup per month, so that's not too bad.
Easily. And not only that, as you were saying, because things change. It's not something you can sign off on, and circumstances change. The whole world, I think we're well aware of, things can change very quickly. So I think the ongoing subscription's great because then you get all the latest information.
Yeah, and also, like, in the scenario of my mum, she's 86, I take care of her. A lot of her appointments, so I have access to her profile straight away, and I'm an executor of her will and have power of attorney. And then my nephew, who's the other executor, he has a young family. So she's just said, well, he can have access to my information when I die, because then he can help support you. So that's the flexibility of the system, is that you can have that, you know, pre-approval of access, and you can change at any time according to your circumstances. Because the important thing is that it's one thing to have these documents in place, but it's important to review them to make sure that they continue to talk for you when you can no longer speak for yourself. And that needs to be really reviewed sort of roughly every 12 months.
Yeah, okay. No, that sounds great. Now, we are going to play a couple of songs. Do you know how many songs I found with ghosts in the title? And it's quite crazy.
I love it.
And I have got your playlist that you sent me before as well. That was Justin Bieber. That came straight from your playlist. Now, what I would like to talk to when we come back is, obviously you're going to be having Don't Be Caught Dead pub quiz, which is happening on Tuesday the 12th of May at Hotel Lona, which is part of the Southside Festival. So I'd like to talk about that. And also, Nicole Kidman sparks death debate as Australian founder wins international award for solving a crisis families face every day. So I thought maybe we could touch on those two.
Sure, sounds great, Rachel.
Excellent. All right, well, I'll go with another one off your list. We'll go with Little Elton John and Candle in the Wind. You're on RPFM, and it is 11:30, and we are speaking to Catherine Ashton, founder of Critical Info.
Goodbye, England's rose. May you ever grow in our hearts. You were the grace that placed itself where lives were torn apart. You called out to our country, and you whispered to those in pain. Now you belong to heaven, and the stars spell out your name. And it seems to me you lived your life like a candle in the wind, never fading with the sunset when the rain set in. And your footsteps will always fall here along England's greenest hills. Your candles burned out long before, your legend ever will. this torch we'll always carry for our nation's golden child. And even though we try, the truth brings us to tears. All our words cannot express the joy you brought us through the years. And it seems to me you lived your life like a candle in the wind, never fading with the sunset when rain set in. And your footsteps will always fall here along England's greenest hills. Your candles burned out long before your legend ever. More than you'll ever know. And it seems to me you lived your life like a candle in the wind, never fading with the sunset when the rain set in. And your footsteps will always fall here along England's greenest hills. Your candles burned out long before your legend ever will. Your footsteps will always fall here along England's greenest hills. Your candles burned out long before your legend ever will.
Heaven. sky and say, my God.
A little Youngblood with Ghosts there. Great artist. Now, we have Catherine Ashton from Critical Info joining us today, talking about all things death, dying, and how you can best care for your loved ones. And she set up this whole platform so that you don't have to feel as overwhelmed in these times, because she's done all the work for you. Amazing. Now, Nicole Kidman, she's causing quite the stir, it seems. What's she up to, Catherine?
Well, I don't know whether any of your listeners saw, but Nicole, in an interview in America about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, announced that after her experience when her mother died last year, she is now training to become a death doula. And so to provide, I think it's quoted as providing solace and care to the dying. So Your listeners may not know what a death doula is. A death doula is someone who is a non-medical support person who really supports the family in the lead up to someone dying and the experience thereafter with the bereavement process and what needs to be done. So really they can support you really throughout the entire process if you need that personal one-on-one support during that stage.
Yes, I was reading a little bit about it, and it's exactly what she said, having someone like an impartial person so that they're obviously not too close, so they can have a little bit of distance there to really help the family, which I think is super important.
Yeah, look, it's a really amazing role that someone can do and support a family through that process.
Yeah, I read, talking of famous people, Richard E. Grant wrote a book, Pocketful of Sunshine? Like every day his wife basically said before she passed away, she said, try to find a little, I'll have to look it up, Richard E. Grant.
Yeah.
But I remember reading his book and, yeah, he said those the people that came in, and I think it was probably nurses and in-home care, but he said they were amazing and, yeah, just really helped him a lot with what he was going through, watching his wife slowly die, which was pretty awful.
Yeah, look, it can be really challenging when someone is going through that stage. And yet at the same time, you know, some people that I've spoken to on the podcast have found it very life-affirming as well in their own life. To really be that close to death, because a lot of the distractions that we have in life all fall away and you're really left with what really matters. And so it can actually have quite a life-affirming effect for people.
Yeah, it was Pocketful of Happiness. I was so close. His wife basically said, Richard, every day try to find something to be happy for. And it really helped. Now, back to Nicole, though. I'm not sure I'd feel comfortable with Nicole Kidman hanging out with me, just given her high profile.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether Nicole, what her fees for her services might be. It might be a little bit different than probably your everyday death doula that is supporting families. So we'll wait and see how it progresses. But having said that, I did interview a person who is a scholar and has studied procrastination, and he was saying to me only a couple of weeks before on the podcast that we need more celebrities to lead the way and talk about end-of-life planning and death, because then we have role models to aspire to. And so, you know, if Nicole is actually opening conversations up and more people are interested in learning about end-of-life planning from this article and her different career change, well, I'm all for it.
Oh, absolutely. Sure. Yeah, well, I think a lot of people now will know what a death doula is. And tell me, Catherine, do we have a lot of death doulas? Are they easy enough to come by?
Yeah, they are actually quite common if you know where to look for them. So a lot of your public health networks will actually be working in conjunction with a death doula network or an end-of-life doula or death walker. They can't go by various names. But there is organisations that you can connect with as well. So there's the Australian Home Funeral Alliance, so there's a lot of, they cover all sectors of Australia, they're a national organisation and have a doula directory. There's also the Natural Natural Death Alliance of NDAN, it's called. I'll look it up while I'm on the podcast, the phone to you. NDAN, and they actually have a list of, yeah, there you go, Natural Death Advocacy Network.
Right.
And they have also a list of people who are members who you can connect with as well. So they're two national organisations, as well as there's an organisation in Adelaide that's starting up, and that's the End of Life Doula Network. So yeah, you just can jump on and Google and find someone in your local area.
Amazing. Now, let's jump to the pub quiz. This is the second time you're doing it?
No, this is actually the fourth time I've done it, but the third year. Yeah, yeah. And it's amazing. People really have a great time, and it's surprising when I first started doing this as part of Southside Festival, which is run by the Frankston Arts Centre. I really didn't know whether people would be interested, but it sells out every year. So if anyone's interested, it's you can just get our go to the events page on our website and book tickets through there. And it is amazing how much pop culture, like you've been playing songs that all relate to death, dying, ghosts, those sorts of things. And it is unbelievable how much pop culture focuses on death, dying, and grieving. But also in really weird ways, like, you know, when you think of South Park and Who Killed Kenny, or, the different sort of shows that we see on television. It is in absolutely everywhere.
Yeah, right. Now, tell me, do you come up with all the questions, Catherine?
I do, and then I test them on my husband and son, and then I have someone who runs pub quizzes on a regular basis to actually do the emceeing for me on the night. Oh. But there's lots of fun prizes to be had, and, you know, come and make a night of it. You know, have a meal at Hotel Lona as well. And it's in their rooftop bar there, so it's a lot of fun.
How good is that name? I want to come, one, because I think it'd be a lot of fun, but two, so I can say I've been to Hotel Lona. What a great name.
It's great. It's a great venue just on the Pean Highway there in Frankston. So, and they've got a beautiful rooftop bar. It'll be held up there, so it'll be a great night. And the food's amazing as well.
And you picked a great night, Tuesday the 12th of May. See, so many things that I have on are usually Friday or Saturday. So when you were saying, I'm running this, I thought, okay, well, hopefully I can go. And then I saw the day. I went, absolutely, Tuesday, 7 o'clock. Great time.
Yeah, very easy, so...
Excellent. And like you said, tickets are available. You can go through Critical Info. .com.au, or else I think, who's doing it? Is it Human Ticks?
That's correct.
Or even, I think, you know, Google's pretty savvy these days. If you type in Don't Be Caught Dead pub quiz that I did earlier, it comes up as well, which is fantastic. So a bit of fun. And guess what? People might actually learn something too, Catherine.
They will. And people are always surprised. Like the feedback that we get was like, oh, I didn't realise this is so fun. And I actually learned something. So, yeah, it's pretty good. And all of the funds raised go to supporting our programs, improving deaf literacy across Australia. So the money also goes to a good cause as well.
Amazing. Very reasonable. $25, all going to a good cause and supporting our recently People's Choice winner. So I think we'll finish up where we started. So tell us a little bit more about Lift Women, and what do we need to do so that we are filling these gaps a bit and people are feeling a little bit more supported?
Look, I think that, what I said earlier about having conversations early with loved ones before crisis hits is the best thing that we can do. If you need to know how to get your affairs in order, we've actually developed the Critical Info platform that allows you to do that and share it with two key contacts, so other people have your information to, or access to where you have your information kept when you need it. So that's the easiest way, because what we've found when we've been talking to people is that people want to actually organise this information and get these things in place, but there just hasn't been a system to do so. And now we've created that. It means that people can now do it in a very, very simple way, and it only takes 10 minutes a day for 15 days and you're done.
That sounds all too easy. How much time did you say? 10 minutes a day?
10 minutes a day for 15 days.
Wow. Okay. Even that, in my brain, that even goes, yeah, that's totally doable.
Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. And do check out Catherine's podcast. I was going to play the little intro you've done, because you do mention about the pub trivia, but a mother's story when she said about seeing, was it like a little mustard colour puff come out of her son, and she says she's pretty sure that was his soul, or she felt that was his soul leaving his body.
Yeah, that was actually a local woman, and that was her partner. When he died, she felt that what she saw was, yeah, his soul leaving his body in a little mustard cloud.
Wow. Yeah, honestly, you must have had some well, what are you up to? Podcast 95, you said?
95, yeah.
Goodness. So, yeah, so check them out. Lots of interesting and so diverse, all the different people that you talk to, Catherine. Amazing. All right. Well, I think we'll play another song and then we'll be up to the 12 o'clock news. So I just wanted to thank you for your time today, Catherine, and being so generous with it.
Thank you, Rachel, for this opportunity to have a chat and let people know that we can support them and come along to the pub quiz if you want to have a bit of fun.
Yeah, excellent. Well, I was about to say, hopefully I'll see you soon, but I will see you soon. I will.
You will.
I'm trying to round up a table, so best I start telling people about it outside of the radio and a bit closer. So I look forward to seeing you on Tuesday the 12th of May, and you have an awesome day while this gorgeous weather lasts.
I shall. You too, Rachel. Take care.
Bye, Catherine. What a good sport and all that interesting work she's doing.